This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Welcome back, y'all. It's the Next Level Living Podcast.
Hey.
The number one rated podcast amongst...
anybody who like podcasts.
It's your favorite podcast.
Favorite podcast.
Hey, and we back. Let's go, y'all. I'm one of your hosts, Mike Moss, man. I'm here with the gang. K-Hart, how you feeling?
I'm feeling good today.
That's good, man.
How you feeling, Mike?
Hey, I feel great. I feel okay. No, you feel great, bro. My heart is great. My mind is great in spite of it all.
In spite of it
Coach
all.
Coach me, Jay.
Yeah. You could be up in the hospital bed somewhere.
Mm. Again.
What? Yes.
Again. God didn't, right?
Right.
All
right.
Jay, how you feeling?
Man, great. I'm looking at my cousin, my beautiful cousin with that Hawaiian silky.
Describe it on your head again. How's it going?
Hawaiian silky.
Okay. Oh.
You got that thing laid. No, I'm great. We have before I introduce our special guest, because I'm going to get too far ahead of myself.
Right.
I'm excited for today, though. Today's episode is going to be special. But before we talk about our guests, Chris, you want to brag on and talk about some of our people?
Well, yeah. Before you brag on our people, what's going on with the look? Like, this room is looking different. Like, we Jay done did something. He feeling special. He done set the room up different. We in a different location.
Yeah, it just
How
came.
How you feeling, man? You good?
We letting the people, our next levelers into this, our office, right? Mm. So this is where we kind of have a lot of our meetings. So we be trying to switch up the locations around the crib.
Got the next level in the background.
For sure.
Oh, yeah. Back
it's,
there.
It's a lot of dope stuff going on in here.
Yeah. Appreciate you, man.
For sure. Nice. For sure.
Yep.
All right, let's get into it. Who we bragging on?
Okay. So today we are bragging on Kenny Smith from our Next Level Speakers Academy.
All right.
He made $5,000 for one engagement.
Let's go. Let's go, K. Smith.
You know?
Let me tell you something. So to be a new speaker...
Mm-hmm.
I remember, right? Yeah, to get $5,000 for one engagement. And Kenny, you know, people speak for free. Like we always talk about the heart.
Yeah.
We believe it's ministry, whether you're speaking for a church or a school or a corporation, a university, it's all ministry.
Absolutely.
But to get compensated for it, makes
that
it
first
sweet.
5K,
yeah,
like,
you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, you know, and Kenny is like, man, I was just trying to make $5,000 a month on my job, but yeah, then in an hour special. So shout out to Kenny.
Shout
for
out
sure.
Kenny, yeah.
He gonna enjoy it all too. He ain't got no agent yet.
See, she's still in business mode.
She's
like, what's the percentage?
I love it.
That's dope, man.
Yeah. No, but let's get to it.
Yes. Okay. So without further ado,
all right.
I want to introduce to all of our next levelers, and I'm going to just speak to Sula. This is your first time. But this will not be your only time.
Come on now.
That you coming on the podcast.
Right? I love it. I love it.
But my sister from another mister, I call her Sissy. She called me Broby.
Broby Man, one Kenobi.
You know? Man, my sis came all the way in from Florida, man. Dope. Sula Lyell. What's up, sis?
Man, hey. I'm so glad to be here. Thank you for inviting me into this space.
You already know.
This
you
is a big know. Deal. This yeah. is a big deal.
I'm glad you're here.
Yeah. It's an honor.
We're glad you're here. Yeah. Yeah. Sula has a phenomenal story, right? And we're going to get into that. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to first tell him how our mutual brother.
Mm-hmm.
So I met Sula through Brian.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So be like the gift that keep on giving.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, and to see the relationship that you have with Sophie and how y'all have been growing over the years. I know in the mornings y'all be having y'all's kingdom.
Yes.
Worship and Bible study just on the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
Man, I just glad you're here in my home, Sula. How you feeling?
Feeling good.
Good.
Let's go. Let's go.
Well, thank you for being here. We know that you have a very important journey, an inspirational kind of story to share with us today. And so we want to let you kick it off by just tell us a little bit about yourself and like how did you get here today?
Yeah, absolutely. So for me, life started in, honestly, complete horror. Mm. You know, I had a single mom, working hard, going to school, just trying to make it. So that meant she had to depend on people to babysit me, you know, often. And so, unfortunately, one of those people that she entrusted me with happened to be in a cult trafficking family. Wow. So from 18 months to 3 years old, a baby, I mean, straight out the gate, it was trauma. So my first memories in life are hiding in closets, being stuffed under comforters, all of these mattresses on the floor in these two rooms and being moved from different mattresses on the floor. And honestly, the spirit realm, like demonic stuff happening in the spirit realm because of the occult activity involved with the abuse that I was enduring.
Wow.
And so my mom found out for the first time that I was being abused when I actually asked her to give me oral sex.
Wow.
Because I was taught by my abusers, this is normal to give oral sex to adults, male, female. This is normal activity. So that's how she knew, okay, something is really wrong.
And that's between a young age?
Yeah, that was 18 about? Months to three.
When you asked your mom this?
When I was 3 years old.
Wow,
yep.
Wow.
3 years old, because okay. I thought it was normal.
Got you.
I had been conditioned and programmed to believe that's normal.
Mm.
So that was life, like, from the beginning for me. Mm. So in my childhood, you know, there were several different abusers. It was almost like, and I think it's because the level of occult activity, how it started.
Okay.
Mm. It's almost like just demonic stuff, trauma seemed to always be attracted to me. Like, there would be all different types of abusers that would come into my life. This caused me to struggle with mental illness. When I was very little, I had fractured parts, or what's called DID, dissociative identity disorder, used to be called multiple personality disorder, because when you go through the type of trauma I went through at a very early age, it like splits and fractures the soul, because wow. part of your soul oh, wow. has to compartmentalize that
yeah.
so you can keep living. And so by age 12, I mean, I was just completely suicidal. I'd already had multiple abusers. And ended up in a mental hospital because, I mean, I didn't know Jesus growing up. I didn't know hope. I was searching for it.
Mm-hmm.
I searched through all these different, you know, spiritual, okay, so is it Hinduism? Is it Wicca, getting involved in witchcraft? Because I knew the spirit realm was
right.
real.
Right.
It was very active. It was probably just as real to me as was in the natural. Because at nighttime, there would be all kinds of crazy stuff, being pulled out of my body, raped by demons, witches, occult members, astral projecting into my room to curse me. It was wow. very real to me.
Wow.
And so by the time I was 14, I met the next trafficker.
Mm.
And, you know, he was this fine older dude swooping in, interested in a young little gal, you know. And ended up being very abusive and would hold guns to my head, very abusive physically and verbally, would take me to the spot in San Francisco, show me other girls working, kind of just really grooming me and showing me the game.
How do these traffickers like insert themselves into your life?
That's a good question. I think traffickers have the ability to see, like, I call it trauma check. I call it trauma check. And there's a couple of ways that they do that. But it's like, if a girl is very, like, you know, closed in, doesn't really make eye contact too much, you know, isn't secure and confident in who they are, generally, you know, they can kind of tell by demeanor. And by the way someone carries themselves, if there's been like trauma in the past.
Wow.
So then it's like, okay, you're going to be easy to manipulate.
Wow.
And so, but because I had been through so much abuse, mental illness, now by age 12, 14, like I'm diagnosed with bipolar disorder, with clinical depression. I got all this mental illness, which is really just unhealed trauma because I wasn't able to heal through all my stuff,
right.
you know? So my inside world was so chaotic. In fact, I felt like I was living from multiple worlds and realities. In school, I would be doing so good. I was getting all A's. I was getting, you know, honor classes, college classes in high school, you know, program at Stanford for students interested in medicine and UCLA and stuff like that. But I was also selling drugs because my pimp boyfriend was teaching me how to sell drugs.
Wow.
At the high school, I had vodka and a water bottle in my backpack.
Wow.
I was popping X and Molly and acid, just trying to find ways to cope. Mm. Searching in the what spiritual thing can I believe in to help me was finding no help.
Wow.
What physical thing can I do to numb it was finding no help. Nothing satisfied. Nothing really truly helped. By age 17, I met my third trafficker or exploiter, it was a girl, okay? And it's important to know, all traffickers are not men.
Mm.
All traffickers are, I mean, there's women that will capitalize off of people's bodies, sell them, you know?
Wow.
And so this girl was known as a dancer in San Francisco, and she ended up convincing me by a whole lot of game, convincing me, you need to come with me, blah, 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 blah. You know, we can make money and all this stuff. And it's important to know that trafficking happens by force, fraud, or coercion, meaning someone forces, kind of like gorilla pimp, they beat you into it.
Mm.
You're beaten into submission. Have experienced that. But then it can also be lying to, tricking somebody into a situation where you think you're coming to a job and it's something else.
Got you.
Or the coercion is just the manipulation, that right?
Part,
so no matter how you get there, you end up being sold. And so I'm in San Francisco, 17 years old, a minor, in the strip clubs, and going with her to hotels on calls with you know, tricks and customers and buyers. And I'm like, how did I get into this? And I was able to get out of that with her because I was still at home with my mom and with my family. And here's the thing. I think because of the dissociation, I was able to like really, okay, I'm here when I'm home.
Mm-hmm.
I am here. I'm brilliant when I'm at school. Mm-hmm. That was the only thing I loved about myself was I can do good at school.
That's cool.
And then at nighttime, I was a whole different person.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I was coping with those demons, trying to fight through all the stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So is this during the actual school year?
Yeah.
So you're being an amazing student and just living a double life with demons. And
probably triple, quadruple, yes, because of all these different parts of me, that are harboring different types of trauma.
Gotcha.
So I imagine your mom wasn't that involved. Like,
she wasn't really aware because when I would come home, honestly, I would be in my room all the time. She knew I struggled with mental illness because, I mean, she knew I was at a mental institution when I was 12. Like, she knew that I struggled with being suicidal. She knew that I was struggling, but I would just always be in my room and didn't really feel like I could talk to anybody because my internal world was so crazy.
Mm.
Like, who would believe me anyway? I'd never heard anybody talk about the stuff I was dealing with in the spirit realm, or I didn't know what trafficking was. I just thought I was always in some chaotic situation and I was always fighting somebody off of me. Somebody was always trying to take advantage of me. I just thought this is what life is. Like, it's normalized, but I knew to hide it from my family.
Right. Mm.
And I hid it very well.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know? So after, you know, moving forward, you know, like I graduate from high school, I'm going to San Francisco State University, end up getting certified for a phlebotomy, drawing blood, doing lab work, because I loved helping people. I love the idea of helping people heal.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got into a situation where I didn't have anywhere to go, anywhere to live. So what am I going to do? Well, I saw piles of cash on that stage in San Francisco when I was stripping and hustling as a minor. So all right, that's what I'm gonna do. So I went and found a strip club that was like 2 hours away because I didn't want anybody to know, find me or know what I was doing. Mm-hmm. And I started dancing and quickly was able to get, you know, get a place and all of that. And being in the sex industry, whether it's by force because someone is making you or whether it's by yourself, you're choosing to by choice, it is a crazy world. It's some sick people in the sex industry, you know, in the strip clubs. And I mean, I had so many close encounters with just crazy people while I was in that. But ultimately, after about 6 months, my mental health was really, really fading.
Right.
And I was just like, I mean, because I had already felt like my value and my worth was taken from me every time someone used or abused me throughout the course of my life. It started this way and it's still here. And I felt like it's just one traumatic event after another. This is never going to end. This is always going to be this way. That's what I was believing, the lies I was believing. So I found myself in the middle of a suicide attempt because I was like, I can't do this anymore. I cannot keep going. The pain, the noise in my head and the pain deep down inside, there's no remedy for it. Yeah. I've searched and I can't really find it. And I actually had an encounter with God as a stripper, drunk, insane and out of my mind in the middle of a suicide attempt. A holy, powerful, pure God saw me and came into that suicide attempt. And I had been to a church before and like started to learn a little bit about God, but it was like kind of what we would say like legalistic or more like controlling. Like you got to dress a certain way. You got to do all this stuff to earn up to someday feeling like you could be close to God. So it was kind of like, oh, I feel like this is truth, but it was like, I don't know if it's
I can't get past
because I'm a mess. Yeah. Does he really want? So when I had this suicide, when I was in the middle of the suicide attempt and I'm sitting there in a puddle of my own blood everywhere and I knew where to cut. This was not about, you know, just cutting for attention. This was like, oh, I know where the veins are. And God came in and God just showed me, like I saw a picture or a vision of all of these people, like crowds and crowds of people, and they were broken. They were wounded and they were staring at me with this eerie gaze, like swaying back and forth. And they were dirty and they were broke down and they were just, you know, desperate. And I heard God say to me, who's going to reach these people that I created you to reach? And in that moment, I was like, wait, my life is about more than me. But like people are, I'm going to be able to enter, like, what? Like you want me? Like, look at me, look at me right now, you know? And so that's when I knew like, okay, wait. I feel like that was my first like real pure encounter that was not clouded by the mixture of what people told me about God. And I was kind of like really getting to know him in a pure way for myself. You know? And so moving on is still a healing journey, right? It's like, it's not like you just meet God and then you're like, hey, instant perfect. You know, it's not even about perfection anyways. But,
Now you knew who to go to.
Yeah.
Because you were looking at, you know, saying all the different witchcraft or Hinduism, Buddhism. But now you know like, okay, God is real. Okay, I got you.
So real. So like I could like nobody could pay me enough to make me believe he wasn't because I encountered him. I had an experience with him. It wasn't just about like listening to sermons or listening to what people say. It was like, no, like I met him for myself. He is real. Right. So so after that, I'm like, I gotta move out. I gotta move. I gotta get out of this area because, you know, I just I need a fresh start. So I go to move to Missouri, start going to college there, and start getting on. I don't know if you guys even remember, but MySpace.
I remember.
I was a whole programmer. Coding everything. Getting my page together, you know. But some people from LA ended up seeing my page and they were like, oh wow, you know, you're beautiful, you should really consider modeling and acting. And so when they said acting, that kind of got me because when I was younger, I used to always love being in plays or like putting together plays for the kids in the neighborhood. I'd be like, y'all come to my house and you're going to be this and you're going to be this, because it was a way to escape reality. So I was like, I loved it, right? So I thought, okay, maybe this is how I'm going to see all those people. Maybe this is how I can help people. You know, I can travel and do that. And I just, I moved to Los Angeles, greener than green, and just didn't really know what the whole entertainment industry was like really about. So I ended up going to, you know, all the auditions, all the networking events, and you're supposed to go here, you're supposed to meet this person, you're supposed to, all that stuff, right? And I end up at this designer's house. He was a billionaire. And it was this like daytime soiree type, everybody network. And on the TV, this big wall of a TV, it was Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. And it was playing over and over and over about this resort that he had and Oprah stayed there and all these celebrities. This is where celebrities vacation and how much it costs every night and showing this paradise of a resort. And so I leave and meet this this person, he actually, the designer like runs up to me like at the door when I'm leaving, like, oh, wait, you're like, you're leaving so soon. Oh, I'm so glad to meet you. And I'm thinking, okay, you know, yeah. All right. And so shortly after that, his people reached out to me and said, we would like to, you know, hire you for a job, modeling opportunity, and all expense paid trip. I was like, what? I'm thinking, maybe this is kind of like making it big. Because trust me, if you try and find anything on me in the past, it's not going to be much. I had 3 seconds of D-list fame, maybe in a couple of, you know. They found me quick. Look, I didn't really get too far, okay?
Right.
But, you know, so I'm thinking maybe this is the big break.
Yeah.
Like, maybe this is it.
Right.
And I knew we had a clothing line. It was in all these stores nationwide, and it was legit. So I went. And, I mean, stupid girl, because I had at that time, it was a flip phone. Pay as you go. Okay. Mm-hmm. Didn't even put the international plan. I know. Hmm. I mean, I really was not smart. I was not wise. And I only had a one-way ticket.
Wow.
So I'm just trusting, like, oh, yay, it's all expenses paid. This is legit. Right. Like, da-da-da-da. I'm thinking, I'm going to be good.
Right.
Get there, and it's another nightmare. And here I am in another situation. And this designer was a trafficker. I didn't know that.
Hmm.
I'm thinking this is a great opportunity.
Hmm.
And so it was just different girls that would come every night. You know, it was just a whole nother horribly disgusting situation of, you know, having to be under a monster yet again.
Mm.
And some girls were super young. I mean, I remember a girl couldn't have been maybe 12, no shoes.
Wow.
Jesus.
No shoes. And it was like we would all have to sit around this big table. And we were so lucky to be able to eat food from a world-renowned chef.
Mm.
And experience all this luxury. Like, we were so lucky to be there. And we would eat food, and he would pick who he wanted to rape that night. And then if he didn't pick yet, then we would have to play games like Scrabble and all this stuff until he's like, I think I want you. Actually, I want you and you and you. And then we would have to, you know, obey him. It was illegal to not obey him. And so, that was horrible. So I realized that some girls got to go home, and I'm thinking, wait, how are you guys getting out of here? Because the security gate, like, you can't just walk out or run to the corner store or something like that. It was like, it was locked down.
Wow.
And so one day I went and I asked him, and mind you have to understand, like, there's like some universal laws in the whole trafficking industry. Like, you don't speak unless you're spoken to. You don't, you know, you have to remain, like, it's this pressure to be perfectly what they need you to be and not get out of pocket, not be disobedient. It's just like, and you figure this out real quickly when you don't do what you're supposed to do.
Gotcha.
And so I knew.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Did you see anything during this time that resembled family? Did you see a wife from this man? Did you see any kids, anybody like playing, like anybody in their natural being, to where you were just like, oh man, like, okay, that's nice. Like a sense of normalcy. Like, I know you say you like did certain things to escape the reality of your situation. Did you see anything over there, like maybe separately away from everybody else, but did you see any sense of family or maybe him having like something stable outside of everything that was going on?
We did interact with like he had a mom, like like this was over Christmas vacation. So it was like you're having to go through all of the, yes, we're doing the holiday. We're going to the mom's house for Christmas, you know, meal. We're doing all this. You have to do all this normal stuff, but you're being raped and tortured. And so it's that's why I think a lot of people that experience trafficking actually have DID or dissociative identity disorder, because how do you go through the motions and still stay alive with the reality of the torture you're suffering?
Gotcha.
And that's why I think it's so important to be able to recognize the signs of what trafficking looks like, because it's like, otherwise, these people are just slaves in and out of society and nobody sees them. And I definitely don't think anybody was able to recognize me because I appeared to just be like, this old nasty man with all these young girls, mm-hmm. you know, and that's the Hugh Hefner culture.
Yeah.
That was, you know, all that was out at that time. And it's like, oh yeah, look at him. He must be, wow. you know.
In those environments, did you guys ever go out and have anything mm-hmm. normal?
We did go out to eat. Mm-hmm. We were in and out of hotels. Mm-hmm. We were in and out of different locations. Yep. Yep.
Okay.
And so it wasn't like, being captive and stuck in one place where you're not, well, there was when we were at the resort, we weren't able to leave and we were stuck there. But you would think like, oh, chained to a bed somewhere in a basement.
Mm-hmm.
But the chains and the manipulation and the control of these traffickers is like, you are chained. You're not going anywhere out mm-hmm. of sight. You're not doing anything unless they tell you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you don't need to be chained to a bed. Because when they break your soul, that's all they got to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, and I got the courage and the strength to ask one time, which you don't do. You don't start a conversation, but I did somehow. And if I could get a ticket home. And he said, you're not going anywhere. I bought you as a Christmas gift for my girlfriend. And she's not back yet. So he basically, like, there was pictures that he saw from the event that I went to in Los Angeles, mm-hmm. and she picked out my picture, like ordering a pair of shoes for Christmas. She wow. said, I want her.
Wow.
What goes through your mind when you ask a question like that and someone says something like that to you, a human being, you're not going anywhere. I picked you out as a Christmas gift. Like, what are you thinking? I know you've been through a lot of trauma to this point so much, but just to hear certain things, I know have to flash to where you just look at everything or something stand still. Like, what are you thinking in moments like that? Like, it's just mind blowing to hear that.
Mm-hmm. I think it's shock okay. and it's, oh no, it's happening again.
Ah, got you.
It's happening yeah. again.
That's not
at this
the first
point,
time.
It's been so normalized, got right? You.
Okay.
So I've been raped several times. I've been abused several times. I've been in these situations several times. So it's almost like you get conditioned and programmed to just, I got to go the least path of abuse.
Mm.
You just kind of are trying to avoid
yeah.
to the best of your ability, the worst of the worst.
Gotcha.
So yeah, I think it's just shock and oh, it's happening again.
Gotcha.
You know? And so eventually I guess, fulfilled whatever I was supposed to fulfill with, you know, this girlfriend when she came back from holiday. And it's basically they just bought me to be a sex toy for them. And she began trying to groom and teach and train me as well, because I just laid there numb, checked out, dissociated, staring off somewhere, trying to be somewhere else, be someone else in those moments. And she was like, look, you have to step it up because he's not happy with you. You just lay there, mm-hmm. you know? And so she started grooming me on and porn, showing me porn and showing me all these things. Well, we have to do this. This is what we have to do because we're going to put you in front of people and you have to be sexually available for whoever we put you in front of. And they talked about all these celebrity names of people wow. that they like. They said, we're swingers. This is what we do. Which is, if anybody yeah. says they're swingers,
right.
opt in. It's more than swinging, it's trafficking too.
That's good to know.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
That's so really I was like thinking, and so yeah, they rattled off all kinds of celebrity names of who we like to do stuff with. And so anyway, she ended up letting me, she got a ticket for me to go home. And then that's how I got back, the girlfriend did.
To leave or just a visit?
Well, she thought I was going to stay with her. Like, stay connected with her. Mm. So she was able to convince him, like, hey, yeah, just give her a ticket home.
Yeah.
You know?
How did y'all get to that point of her, like, agreeing to get a ticket for you?
Playing the role. Playing the role of her girlfriend.
Mm.
Gotcha. I played that role. Gotcha. And that's, like, survival Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah.
You play the, like, whatever you got to do.
Because
there was, like, really horrific, aggressive stuff that this man liked. And I was like, I had already experienced it from him and I didn't want to experience it anymore.
Yeah.
And so it's almost like you get like, again, it's like being programmed as a mind controlled person when you experience this.
And at that point you already had God like as a part of your routine mm-hmm. in your heart. Like how did he play a role in that setting?
I feel like there were moments where he was there for me, like it could have been worse, mm-hmm. as bad as it is. Mm-hmm. And in this short time that we have together, I'm just giving nutshell version, mm-hmm. little snippets of all the horror I went through. But I, in hindsight, when I look back, I can see him in my whole mm-hmm. story. Mm-hmm. I can see how things could have been worse. Mm-hmm. I could see how I could have been dead so many right. times, mm-hmm. you know?
Right.
But he kept me alive for a reason and for a purpose. Mm-hmm. And so in the middle of it, I wasn't always aware of how close he was. Wow. I wasn't always aware of how much he was still protecting me, even in the middle of torture and like how he was mm-hmm. allowing me to yeah. get through it.
And sometimes that's really how it be.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we realized later, like, oh, wow, God, you was with me. Mm-hmm. Like, it could have been worse. Like, I was complaining about this, but it could have been so more. I could have not made it. I could have not survived.
Right.
And so we want to, there is so much more mm-hmm. to your story.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To our viewers, to our listeners, we want to, part two. Can we do a part two?
Because
I want to give you some time
All right.
to
yeah.
really blow this thing out.
Yeah,
right?
Let's do a part two.
Because I feel like in this first section, we broke down from the age of 18 months to 3 years, what happened, 12, mm-hmm. 14, and college and survival mode and everything else, right? Mm-hmm. To now you're being trafficked overseas. And now in the part two, I want to talk about like that transition,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
and how God set you free and see how he has you on the path you on yeah. now. Because sis, you are the epitome of, I don't look like what I've gone through.
Mm.
You feel me?
Yeah.
Like, she's yes. like the epitome of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I ain't gonna lie. And I know some of your story, I didn't know all of it, but yeah. I'm even sitting here myself listening like.
I got chills, man.
I'm like, how? Like, yeah. for yeah. you to have that joy, that light inside
yeah.
you, like,
yeah.
man, listen, man, God is real.
right.
Yeah, so.
He's so real.
Yeah, so we're gonna have you back. We're gonna do part two, which will be available for y'all next week. How you wanna close it out, Mike? What we do?
Oh, y'all stay tuned. I'm telling you right now, this is Next Level Living Podcast. Don't meet us there next week.
Beat us there. Let's go.
Okay.